It's time for ROTD Weekend. Miami was amazing, you guys. I had such a great time. We were there just after Thanksgiving, part of that same weekend, me and Marty and my kids, and we really had a blast. The kids had never been there before, and so I really wanted them to see like Miami at its best. And so we stayed at South Beach and we went for a fancy dinner. We went for a vibey dinner. We shopped on Lincoln Road. We sat on the beach. We walked on the boardwalk. Yeah, we did all the tourist things. One really cool thing that we did that I didn't even know was a thing was we had dinner at the Versace Mansion. So this is the mansion right in South Beach, like right on the strip of restaurants that used to be owned by the clothing designer Gianni Versace. And now it's like a boutique hotel with a restaurant, and it is just glitzy, opulent. Like being in there is incredible. If you're in Miami and you don't even have to do like the whole dinner, they do have a bar lounge area just to like go in and walk around. Really, really cool. If you want to see what I did in Miami, if you're following me on Instagram, I am at Cook the Story on Instagram, and one of my highlight reels there is called New Travel, and it just has some of the things that we did there, including the art galleries that we went to. We went to the Wynwood Walls, which is like outdoor art celebrating street artists. And my kids loved that. And we also went to the Rubel Museum. But what we didn't do, something I didn't even know existed, was right across the street from the Rubel Museum is something called Super Blue Miami. It's 50,000 square feet of immersive art experiences. We'd run out of time by the time we'd spotted it, but like, I think we're going back just to do that. It looks really cool. So if you haven't been to Miami before or haven't been in a while, those are my recommendations. I'm actually going to be back in Miami probably just for a night. Marty and I are going on a cruise that leaves from Miami. And now that there's this Brightline train that takes you from Orlando to Miami, that has gotten even more convenient. Really easy to just get on the train and go. So that will be really fun. And we'll probably time it to at least have one kid-free night in Miami on our way there. Maybe also one on the way back. You never know. Either way, I know that we will have a blast. So yeah, that was my Thanksgiving weekend. We spent a couple of days in West Palm Beach, and that's where Marty's mom lives. We had Thanksgiving dinner with her, and then we headed on to Miami from there, and it was really nice. My son actually had Thanksgiving with his girlfriend and her extended family in Miami, so he got to meet everyone, and then we met up with him after. So yeah, just a really nice time with people spending time together and, of course, eating great food. And now we are here in December. We are in December of 2025. I still cannot believe it. But in December, you know what's coming up next, and that is Hanukkah. And so I have the best expert on the show with you today, Latke expert extraordinaire. It is Beth Lee from OMG Yummy. So you've heard me talk to Beth many times before. This is a brand new conversation focused on latkes, and then she brings a non-latke recipe to tell us about as well. And I will just say, like, tying into that theme I've been talking about a lot lately, the cooking for small households or cooking for two, latkes are one of those things that is actually perfect for that because they're definitely special. I mean, they are shredded, fried potatoes and amazingness, right? So they're definitely special. But the thing that like takes the most time with them generally is that you're making a big batch and are standing at the stove frying for a long time, right? But if you take that batch and cut it in two or even cut it in quarters, you're just making like one quarter as much, then you're just making enough for probably two people and you're just standing at the stove for a little while. So it could be one of those things that you do that's really, really special and celebratory without having to be, you know, like roasting a whole turkey can be. You know, it's portioned, you know how much you're making, and you can do a little small batch and it's festive and fun. So if you are cooking for a small household, if you're interested interested in more of this Cook for Two kind of stuff, I definitely think that you should check out my Cook for Two community. It is really exciting. We had our first Stir It Up live event already with a Zoom chat. We're going to be doing another one, members only live chat. It's coming up on December 13th, and you get the recipe vault with over 75 made for two people recipes that are quick, easy, and scaled just for two, and lots of tips. We just put up these quick wins on Cook for Two. They're like really quick tips that'll get you sort of cooking and shopping easier and better and feeling better about it. Just really quick things that you can learn and start applying right away. So those are in there as well. Go and check it out at thecookful.com/spoon. That's a great place to go because that is where you can get your $5 a month rate that is only for podcast listeners. I only say it on this show. I've never put it anywhere. So it's only people listening right now who get the $5 a month rate, and that never changes. That's all you'll ever pay. You'll want to click on the founding member monthly rate, which is $9.99 a month, but then you're going to enter coupon code ROTD, all in caps, and then you'll get the $5 a month rate. And so, yeah, go and do that and start getting all of these tips and recipes and live interactive moments. We're having a blast, and it's just going to get better. I can't wait to see you there. Go to thecookful.com/spoon. Okay, and now we have to turn to those latkes. Hanukkah is coming. We have our expert in place, and Beth Lee from OMG Yummy is here to tell us some of her best tips for making latkes, and we are going to be experts at the end of this conversation for sure. Let's listen to my conversation with Beth from omgyummy.com. Hello, Beth. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Christine. Thank you for having me back. I always love being here.
I love talking with you so much. And this time of year is so perfect because Hanukkah is coming up around the corner. And I know that you are a latke expert and you have some tips to share today. Maybe, you know what? I know everybody knows, but just in case they don't, maybe just start with like, what are latkes and even why are they such a big deal at Hanukkah?
Sure. So at Hanukkah, we're celebrating the miracle of the oil lasting 8 days when it was only supposed to last 1 day because there was a light above the ark in the temple that had been destroyed, and this light is always supposed to stay on, and they thought it was going to go out while they went off to look for more oil, and lo and behold, miraculously, it didn't. The oil lasted 8 days. So Hanukkah lasts for 8 days, 8 nights, and we celebrate the miracle of oil. So we eat a lot of foods that are fried, although over the last few years, I've tried to introduce the concept that oil can be used in many ways that are not just fried, like make a salad dressing, put olive oil in it, you're celebrating oil. But latkes are one of the most traditional, at least in, I think, the United States. Like in Israel, they celebrate the miracle of the oil by frying sufganiyot, which are donuts. In the United States, you're going to find people celebrating Hanukkah with potato latkes, which is basically a, you know, it's a fried potato pancake. So that's why we become latke mavens, if you will, if we are hosting Hanukkah for the family or friends or whatever. They are just a classic must-have on the buffet table.
I love that. And the story, and then, of course, they're delicious, too. And so it just all kind of comes together. And they're, you know, they're kind of annoying to make. And that's kind of often like a hallmark of celebratory food, right? Because if it was, right. If they're delicious and easy, then you have them every day and then they're not special for like right. Holidays, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I know that you have some thoughts on how to make them not as annoying.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'll cover a few of my big tips, and you can always check out my blog post because I go through everything with lots of pictures and everything too. But when you're working with the potatoes, basically potato latkes are going to have potatoes and onions, some kind of binder in it, and eggs. People, you know, use different binders. I usually use matzo meal, but you can use flour. If you need to make it gluten-free, you can use like cornstarch or some kind of gluten-free flour. So that's basically what it is. You're going to shred potatoes, you're going to shred onions, and you're going to add some binders to it. When you shred the potatoes and the onions, what's really, really important is that you wring out all the liquid, because if you leave too much liquid in it, then the whole thing is not going to hold together nicely when you start frying them up in the pan. So that's the first thing, is to get rid of all the liquid. And I do that by using a colander and cheesecloth and just wringing the heck out of it after I've shredded them. Mm-hmm. So that's a key you'll always see in everybody's recipes, is make sure you get rid of all the liquid. Mm-hmm. Or as much as you can. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you just don't want to leave all of it there. When you wring out that liquid, you'll notice if you wring it out into a bowl, there will be a layer of potato starch that sits there at the bottom of the bowl. So you can throw out the liquid, but keep the potato starch and put that back into your potato latke mixture, because that potato starch is really great for holding the latke together and helping it, you know, fry up beautifully. So
I didn't know that. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So you pour the water off. Yeah, I always just do it over the sink. I've never done it over a bowl.
And,
so
you know, if you get rid of it, it's okay. But if you'll see, if you go to my blog post, I even show a picture of it. You know, so if you don't like, really? Does that happen? Really, it happens. And it's this really like thick, almost gummy type stuff at the bottom of the bowl. So if you don't remember to do it, it's not the end of the world. You're going to be putting other binders in there. Then I think what's really important when you fry them, and I like using a cast iron pan, and you're not deep frying. You don't need like a whole like foot of oil that you're popping them in. You're shallow frying them, but you want to keep your oil to temp. And I think it's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, 350 or something. I put the amount, the temperature is in the recipe. Mm-hmm. Keeping your oil to temp is really important, because if you don't, they're either going to fry too slow or they're going to fry too fast. If they fry too fast, the inside isn't going to cook. If they fry too slow, they're going to get oily.
Right.
So that's really important. Have an instant read thermometer nearby and check your oil. And if you've put a bunch of, when you put, you know, 3, 4, 5 latkes in there, it's going to bring the oil temperature down. So you just kind of pay attention to that, and you get into a rhythm. You know, you get into a rhythm, keeping the temperature up. My other huge tip is, well, there's a couple more, is that you can make these ahead of time. So if all of this frying thing, you're going, oh my God, I'm having 10 people over for Hanukkah, I'm going to be standing in the kitchen frying these at the last minute. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. That's too much work. You don't need to do it the last minute. You can make them ahead. My motto about latkes is, if they start out crispy, they will reheat to crispy. So follow all the tips and tricks. Make your crispy latkes, layer them on a cookie sheet, a baking sheet. And if you've made them earlier in the day, just, you know, put them in the fridge, or if it's not that long, leave them out on the counter. And then when your company comes, just have the ovens hot and put them in the oven and reheat them. They really will come back to crispy. So you don't need to worry about making them at the last second.
Do you reheat them in a hot oven? Like, is it? Yeah, because you want to like activate that outer edge again.
Yep. I mean, nobody's going to complain if you do that, I promise. Much less stressful for you.
Have you tried the air fryer?
That's a great question. So I have not, because I'm going to say this on air, I don't have an air fryer.
We have talked about this before. It shocks me every time, Beth. Every time.
I know.
Okay. As I was asking, I was like, wait a minute. This feels familiar. Okay. But you know,
so I don't have an air fryer. I absolutely think it could work either for the initial cooking or the reheating. I think it's a great idea. The only thing about air fryers is they're small. And so short of that, for reheating, how about if you have an oven that has a convection setting?
Yeah, that would probably work.
That could be like your very, very best bet.
I don't know if you can cook them initially in the air fryer. I'm sure there are people out there who have recipes for them. People have tried it, and I haven't tried latkes specifically, but I've tried more battery, like things that go in kind of softer to start. Uh-huh. And they, it doesn't, it's just not as hot as that contact with oil. So it doesn't like set in the same way, you know?
I mean, I will say this is something I just do it the traditional way because... Mm-hmm. There's nothing like a latke coming out of the pan fresh or being reheated once they were made properly. I promise both are good. Mm-hmm. But as the person cooking the latkes, one thing I just have to recommend to you is when you make your first batch, treat yourself to one of those that comes right out of the pan. And their finishing touch on your latke is have a little thing of kosher salt or whatever salt you use. But I keep a little kosher salt, which is what I use for almost everything. Finish your latke right after it comes out of the pan with a little dash of salt. You will be so happy you did. And then treat yourself to that first bite because you've earned it if you're making the latkes.
I have two questions. So first, the kosher salt. If you know you're reheating them after, would you do it after the reheat, the kosher salt?
No, I would still do it right. I mean, you could. You know, you could. It's a good question. Again, I kind of get into a rhythm. I get myself set up. Mm-hmm. I do it right when they come out of the pan. And then I know all I'm doing is reheating later if that's how I'm serving them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But if you didn't, no big deal. Reheat them and you're right. Like give them a little spritz of your kosher salt right before you serve them there. It just is the perfect finishing touch.
And then I want to know, okay, you were mentioning like keeping the oil at temp. Is this one of those things that like your first set, like you first put a few in the pan, you might not have your groove quite there yet. Like those, when the oil temperature drops too much the first time or they cook too fast. And it's like, okay, if the first four aren't great, your next four are going to be perfect. Is it kind of like that?
It kind of is. Like every time I make them, I remember that you do kind of have to get into the groove of how many can go in the pan without making the temperature go down too low. What is it like when they start, you know, when it's getting too hot, like you can kind of tell by maybe how much it splatters. And then there's people who believe you stick a piece of a carrot in there to help with the maintaining the temperature and reducing the splatter. I've tried it. Hasn't for me shown a lot of, you know, like huge results. But in any case, yes, you kind of like remember, oh yeah, like I can tell if it's, you know, splattering that much, it's probably a little high. I can tell, oh, it was kind of too calm when I put it in there. Maybe it's a little bit low. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. You kind of get into a groove. And then I keep my instant read thermometer, which for everybody listening, if you don't already have one, I bet you've probably covered this, Christine, in various places your social media, on this podcast, whatever. It's such a great tool for your kitchen. If you're not sure, you know, just put the tip of it in the oil and see what you got. Mm-hmm, and, you know, if you're hovering a little bit above, a little bit below the recommended temperature, then, you know, you're going to be okay. And always expect that when you put like your four latkes in there, your four mounds of batter, always going to drop a little bit. Mm-hmm. Always.
So you're turning the heat up a little bit and then you're bringing it back down again a minute or two later. So it's not too hot, right?
Yep. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Always assume that your first batch, probably not going to be your perfect batch, but it's going to be your teaching batch. And then you'll get your temperature of your stovetop and the pan you're using going and you'll power through it. I promise.
I love that. This is, you know, my kids are both learning to cook a lot more lately and are doing great. And it's this kind of conversation where I remember things like this. Even all these years later, things like this, I'm going to have that learning curve every time and I'm going to get it, but they don't yet know that. Like if my son was about to go and make a batch of latkes right now, his first four in that pan would be a disaster and he'd be very upset and no part of him would have that like, wait a minute, this is one of those things that I'm going to ebb and flow and figure out with time. And they're doing great. They get a little frustrated.
And that's right. I mean, that's the whole thing with experience, right? Like that confidence you get. But that's what they have to know, that it doesn't matter if it comes out great or doesn't come out great. But the fact that they did it, even if they don't know what they're learning. And, you know, they will get better and more confident in themselves. And I see it with my daughter cooking, you know, over the years. Like, you know, she still kind of a recipe follower. She's in her 20s now, but she sometimes just comes down and, you know, makes something. She has no recipe to follow. She just does it because she's, you know, gaining that confidence.
Oh, that's exciting.
So, yeah. It's good to hear that you've got them in the kitchen.
Yeah. They're following recipes from my website, which is really funny, but it's, you might do this with your family too. I trust those recipes and I know they work. And if they have questions, like, it's like, I know them like the back of my hand too. Cause I'm also just like, oh, you know what? You're going to need that thing that's hard. It's in the garage right now. Or you're going to, you know, like I know them very well. So, I print off the cook the story recipe and here you go. Here's your meatloaf recipe for today. Off you are. Off you go. So Beth, this is fantastic. I know you've brought an actual recipe to tell me about as well that is not latkes, but can you let people know? So there, the latke recipe is on your website and then you have tips coming out daily for people as well. Where should they be going?
Yeah. So definitely check out my post on potato latkes on my blog. Just go to my blog and you can use the search function and search on latkes. Because it'll come up. Definitely check it out. There's also a whole section with Hanukkah recipes, which when we get to the recipe I'm going to go through today, that will be in that section. But also follow me on Instagram, OMG Yummy, and on Facebook, OMG Yummy, because I will do a series on probably on my stories. It might come up in my feed as like a carousel too. Mm-hmm. I have a series of 8 tips for making latkes. So there's even more than what we talked about today. And so yeah, follow me. And then if you have questions, just message me. As Christine knows, I love talking about food and I love answering your questions, hearing, you know, what's happening with recipes you've tried, anything. And can't say I'm available 24 hours a day, but pretty close to it. And especially before the major holidays or various things, I try to be as available. I'm also big into Thanksgiving and besides all the Jewish holidays. And I love saying, you know, that my hotline is open. So we're getting close to Hanukkah. My Hanukkah hotline is open. Feel free to ask any questions you have. I love talking about food. Truly. Truly.
That's so great. And you're so knowledgeable and explain things so well. So yeah. Yes. Ask Beth. She will fill you in on all of it. Okay. So now, recipe. What is the recipe that you've chosen to tell us about today?
Yeah. So the recipe today, I call apricot jam chicken. And it's something absolutely delicious enough to put on any holiday table, including we've served it at Hanukkah, but you don't have to think of it. It's not a really a Jewish dish, but it makes for a really great serving the crowd kind of dish. But I also make it all the time just in the middle of the week as a way to, you know, serve chicken. And it's simple, but it's just absolutely delicious. It's one of the few things I can serve at a Jewish holiday when maybe the family is expecting brisket and I've decided I'm not making the brisket. And if I put this chicken out, nobody's going to complain.
That is high praise.
Year round. And so what you do is you make a mixture of apricot jam and you can, you know, I happen to make apricot jam. That's one of the things you'll see is really popular on my blog, but you don't need homemade jam. Go buy your favorite jam at the store, whatever that is, you know, whatever brand that is. Most of us keep Dijon mustard in our refrigerator, in our, you know, little condiment section. So it also calls for some Dijon mustard and then some fresh lemons. And you're going to use the rind of the lemon. You're going to use fresh lemon juice, and then you're going to use sliced lemons on top. And then a couple things. I mean, then, you know, a little bit of salt and pepper, maybe. Be careful with the salt because depends like how salty your mustard is. So you don't need much, but maybe a little extra sprinkle of it. And then one of the things over the years I've added is some thyme. It's not like you don't have any fresh or dried thyme for whatever reason, you know, don't worry about it. It's still going to be excellent. But I've found that a little bit of fresh thyme on top or a little bit of dry thyme just adds a little something something to it. And then the fun part about this is you can use whatever kind of chicken you have. So it could be boneless, skinless, like thighs, breasts, or it could be bone in. I wouldn't mix the two. I would go with one or the other or put them in two different pans because obviously the boneless is going to cook faster than the bone in. But either one will work. And especially if you're thinking about this maybe as part of a buffet for like a family dinner, I might recommend going the boneless route because it's easy for serving. You can cut the pieces into even sized pieces. Even if you're mixing the light and dark, you know, the white and dark meat, you can still kind of bring it down to like a similar size for cooking. So that I think is really great for serving a crowd, but I love making it with bone in too. And even maybe finishing at the end, well, you could do this with boneless, but maybe a, just a minute or two under the broiler, you know, to get that extra crispy. I finish it with slices of fresh lemon on the top. We use Meyer lemons because they grow in our backyard, but I will tell you, I eat those slices of lemon. I don't take them off and just shove them aside. I think they're just that flavor of the lemon, the against the sweet of the apricot and the savory of the Dijon mustard. It's just a really good bite. And I can't recommend enough trying this out. It will become, I think, an on repeat in your house. I have people tell me all the time, oh yeah, the apricot chicken, I'm making that. I'm going to make your apricot chicken. It's just, and I truly, truly, this is a staple in our house. Like it's on repeat all the time, whatever chicken I've got hanging around.
So you mix together, it's the jam, mustard, and some salt, maybe some thyme. And that
fresh
goes
lemon
on
juice.
Fresh lemon juice.
And, and lemon zest.
And lemon zest. And that goes on, like you mix it all together?
Yep, mix it all together and put it on the chicken. And you could cook that right away. You could make it, put it on the chicken, and just shove it into the fridge until you're ready to make it. You could bake the whole thing ahead of time and reheat. I mean, you're basically, you're making your, I don't want to call it really a marinade, it's not really a marinade, but you're making your sauce. Get your chicken pieces ready in your chicken roasting pan. You're making your sauce. You're throwing the sauce all over the chicken and then slicing up the lemon you have left and putting it on top. And if you have fresh thyme, I love throwing some fresh thyme on top, or I've included some dried thyme inside the mixture, and then you're ready to go. But you could absolutely do that, stick the whole thing in the fridge, even do it the day before, and then bring it out right before dinner and cook it up fresh. It's a winner.
And then they're baking at 350?
I actually suggest 375.
Okay.
Because I love that little extra heat that it kind of ends up like if you've made it with a skin on type of bone in chicken. I love that kind of like you get a little bit more action on the top of the chicken, I think, with a slightly higher temperature. But, it, you know, if you're doing the boneless, skinless, probably 350 will work just fine for you. And, you know, now I'm not being loosey-goosey about it, but you also know your oven, right? Like, I know my oven right now is a little lagging on the temperature inside, so I tend to veer a little bit on the higher. If your oven is newer and happier than mine is, then, you know, you could ratchet it down a little bit. But yeah, 375-ish.
You mentioned the instant read thermometer earlier. The thing that I end up telling people almost more often than the instant read thermometer is oven thermometer. Have an oven thermometer. The number of times, and I, you know what, I get a lot of comments on my site, and I know you do too, and I believe people, and I care very deeply about what they have to say, especially if one of my recipes doesn't work for them. But when they say something like the, you know, the chicken was in the oven for an hour and it didn't cook, I'm just like, well, no, that there's no way that your oven was at 350 degrees Fahrenheit and the chicken thighs didn't cook in an hour or like something like that. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, oven thermometer. Like that one is for sure that. And it's so often that ovens are miscalibrated or lose that ability to stay.
Absolutely. And they have hot spots and cold spots. You can move that thermometer around and see where your hot and cold spots are. Like I know because I'm constantly like I wrote a whole cookbook on Jewish baking and I still am testing recipes all the time. time, I know my oven and I know it's a little bit weird now. Like it says it's coming back up to temp, but I have to sort of force it to come back up to temp. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I know that about my oven. If I've opened it, taken something out and have put it back in, I put it, you know, I have to tell my oven 350 start to make sure it reheats back up to 350. That shouldn't be the case. Mm-hmm. I happen to know it's the case and I know I'm going to get a better, you know, accurate result mm-hmm. by doing mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But everybody has to know their own mm-hmm. oven. And mm-hmm. and that's why bringing it back to the instant read thermometer, you're not sure your chicken's done. Yeah. You know, put yeah. that instant read thermometer in. Don't put it right on the bone if it's bone in. Put it in, you know, someplace where you can get the meat. But if you're not sure, I mean, heck, I pretty much know a lot of things by just looking these days. But you know what? I check myself. Mm-hmm. I check myself yeah. all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and, for sure.
You know, you can be a super experienced cook and still need to check.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Nothing wrong with that.
I had two questions about the apricot chicken. So first, the lemon slices over top, they're not covering it completely. They're just kind of like scattered or like...
Yes, they're scattered. If you go to the post, you'll see example pictures of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. It doesn't need to be like a blanket of lemon. Mm-hmm. It should mm-hmm. be. And in fact, it ends up looking kind of pretty.
You know, that's between nice.
Kind of orange sauce and then the sliced lemon pieces on top. It's really pretty to look at.
And then, so if you have bone-in versus boneless, the bone-in cooks longer. Correct. And I'm picturing like the sugariness of that, the jam, it's not gonna, with that longer cooking time, it doesn't really burn. It just gets kind of like...
I usually, the last time I cooked it, and I think I say this in the post, so you could cover... If it's going to be cooking for the hour, you could cover it for the, like, say, first half an hour. So you don't get too much of that sugar from the jam and the edges of the lemons mm-hmm, getting mm-hmm. too dark. Mm-hmm. And then take that off and let for the last like half hour-ish.
Okay, yeah.
Leave it open. So you can play with that a little, whether you're doing the bone in or the boneless. But I actually think it's the most perfect when you almost have like the burnt edges.
I like that too.
You know, it's really, to me, that's like my perfect bake on the chicken mm-hmm. is that we, you know, we don't want it black on top, but a little bit of singe on the edges mm-hmm. of the lemon mm-hmm. and on the skin of the chicken or whatever. And you've got, in my opinion, perfection.
Oh, well, this sounds wonderful, Beth. As always, your recipes are always so beautiful. Can you just let people know again where your blog is and where they can find you online? And I know they're going to come looking for you to use that hotline for sure.
Yes, yes. Use the Beth hotline, the Hanukkah hotline, whatever holiday, whatever thing you're working on, consider me a hotline for you. You can find me at omgyummy.com. That's my blog. I also am on Instagram. As OMG Yummy. I'm on Facebook as OMG Yummy, Pinterest if you're a Pinterest person, and my newsletter now lives over on Substack. Oh. So you can find me as OMG Yummy or Beth Lee over on Substack and subscribe. And I send out a newsletter every couple weeks and, you know, with usually seasonally related, you know, tips and ideas and what's going on, upcoming events, all that kind of stuff. So OMG Yummy. All over the place. Come say hi and love to chat.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine. It's always so much fun to be here.
I told you, Beth knows it all when it comes to latkes, and definitely think about making a smaller batch of them if you have a smaller household, and you'll add that festive touch so easily to a meal. And if that meal is apricot chicken, OMG, that is so good. I can't wait for you to try Beth's recipe. I will put links to her latke recipe and to the apricot chicken in the show notes for this podcast episode, or go to omgyummy.com and search there. Now, I usually tell you what I am cooking this week, but I am not cooking this week. I am going home to Canada to spend a few days with my parents, just me, and I'm just heading there for a few days and spending time with them. We haven't been able to coordinate a full like Christmas trip this year with the kids' schedules and the things that they have going on, and so I'm going for some special time with them. I cannot wait. I'm sure I will probably cook something with my mom while I'm there, but it's not going to be for the websites. I'm not doing doing photos or videos or anything like that this week. So I have no news for you there. So then I will instead just tell you about what is new on the website. So there is a new recipe on each site this week. On cookthestory.com, we have some smothered pork chops. I'll just tell you, the smothered chicken thigh recipe that I did way back when on the Cookful has done so crazy well. People love it, and it's like trending on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok all the time, going viral on one of them. It had over 1 million views. So that was just a really, really great recipe. That one is on the Cookful. But because Cook the Story has such an emphasis on pork and pork chops, I decided that the smothered pork chop recipe has to go over on Cook the Story. It is modeled on that chicken thigh recipe, though. It's this technique, I guess it's a technique, where you dredge the pork chops in seasoned flour, and then you're pan frying them, and then you use the rest of that same seasoned flour to thicken and flavor the gravy. So that recipe is new on Cook the Story now, and it's really tasty, a little spicy, creamy, lots of onions in the gravy. Love it. Okay, and then on the Cookful, the new recipe over there is for pizza stuffed peppers. Yep, these are peppers that you're stuffing with pizza filling, because why wouldn't you? And they are delicious and fun. So you have to check that out on thecookful.com. I will put the links to all the recipes that I have talked about, that Beth has talked about. Those will all be in the show notes for this podcast episode. Or if you head to cookthestory.com/ROTD, you can get to it from there. Everything there is arranged by date. So you want the episode from December 6th of 2025. And then you can get to all the links that we talk about, and everything is there for you. Okay. I want to say a big thank you to Beth. Everybody go and check her out on Instagram as well. OMG Yummy. And don't forget to sign up for Cook for Two. You can go to cookfortwo.us or go to thecookful.com/spoon and use the coupon code ROTD in all caps to get the $5 a month price locked in for life. You're going to love that. And I can't wait for you to see all that we're doing back there. And I want to say thank you to those who have signed up, and to anybody who's thinking about it, who does it in the next little while. You are really helping to support me and my business and my team and my family. So I really appreciate all of you doing that and being there and starting this community with me. It is so exciting. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. I am Christine Pittman from cookthestory.com, thecookful.com, the all-new chicken cookbook, cookfortwo.us, and from this podcast, recipe of the day. I hope you have a great weekend. Let's get cooking.